and I just finished my MPH at San Francisco State, and I'm here today to tell you a little bit about my experiences in my culminating experience project, which looked at, it was a community participatory documentary film that explored issues of concern to the gay Latino immigrant community. So, I'm going to skip the learning objectives. I started the project with the following problem statement. Gay Latino immigrants face significant challenges related to racism and homophobia, which pose important contextual factors that seriously impact individual and community health among gay Latino immigrants and contribute to significant health disparities. So whenever I talk about the project, I like to start by saying that while this was a project that looked at ways communities cope with oppression and community resilience factors and things like that, but it's important as we look at ways that communities cope that we not forget to still take aim at oppression itself and not forget about that. And for me, in this project, I think particularly as a gay man working in a community of color, this was a project that called not just for challenging racism and homophobia and other isms, but also really going through self-reflection about my own privilege and biases and the lens that I see the world through. So I think that was an important part of the project. So there were three big ideas in the project. First and foremost, it was a project that was really driven by community participation. The idea was to facilitate a process-focused documentary filmmaking project to produce a film made by gay Latino immigrants and for gay Latino immigrants. Second, again, as an outsider to the gay Latino community, I knew going in that cross-cultural collaboration was going to be a very important aspect of the project. And then finally, much of the project was inspired and guided by the work of Rafael Diaz and George Ayala and their model of social and contextual risk. So I thought I'd say a little bit about their model of social and contextual risk. Diaz and Ayala began by questioning why many of the gay Latino immigrant men that they were seeing were experiencing significant levels of sexual risk, despite having relatively high levels of knowledge about sexual risk behavior and high intentions to practice safer sex. Their investigation led to this model of contextual risk in which oppressive social contextual factors like homophobia and racism set the stage for risk behavior. In their model, these forms of social oppression were associated with negative psychological impacts, such as depression and low self-esteem, and then coupled frequently with high-risk sexual situations like encounters of unequal social power, encounters that involve substance use, and those were strongly associated with risk behavior. In the research, though, they also pointed to a number of critical resilience factors. And among these were family acceptance, having a gay role model in childhood, social and sexual satisfaction, and social and political involvement in social, political networking and activism. So we tried to incorporate those and use those factors of resilience in this project and really tap into that. And we also use those as markers for evaluative purposes. So let's go ahead. Well, I mean, among those were like one of the important goals was to try to create a space where people could a safe space to talk about community challenges and community strengths, opportunities to enhance social networks, and to give people a chance to give something back to their community. So in terms of methods, we began with a period of formative research and then a very limited community-based health assessment. And that involved key informant interviews, community-based survey outreach that was both at bars and through some support groups, about four different support groups in the San Francisco Bay Area that serve gay Latino immigrants. And then through a group interview with community members that then developed into a community advisory board that continued to guide the project all the way through to completion. And I would also say like the community engagement remained this central facet of the project, not just in the health assessment section, but in filmmaking, film editing, distribution, evaluation, all the way through the project. Gay Latino immigrants were at the forefront in making decisions and how the project went forward. So the first findings that we had came from the community surveys that we did with the community support groups and in the bar outreach. And what we heard back from that the top issues that came out were HIV/AIDS, alcohol and drugs, family ties, and well, you see that. And we were asking people, what themes do you want to see in the film? If you had an opportunity to make a film or decide what was going to be in a film targeting gay Latino immigrants, what would you want to see in that film? So this is what came back from the surveys. We took that back to the Community Advisory Board, and they agreed, yeah, those are all very important issues for our community. But they also said this is also a very problem-focused list of concerns, and we also feel like there are already some film products that target our community and address these problem issues, these challenge issues, and we'd really like to see something that tells our story, recognizes the struggles that we're facing, but also looks at some of our strengths, celebrates some of the positive things about being an immigrant. So, I'm going to hop ahead to the kind of the end of the project, because one of the things that was really important to us, because it was very process-focused, was to look at how people felt about their participation in the project overall. So we had a number of different tools that we used to gauge how people were feeling about participating in the project, like feedback forms after every community advisory board meeting and things like that. But this data comes from a SurveyMonkey questionnaire that was sent to 19 people that had been heavily involved in the project. And it was, of course, very gratifying because these were themes that were, from the beginning, very important to us, because they tapped into those resilience factors. And so all of the respondents either agreed or strongly agreed that the project had created a space to talk about community strengths and challenges, created opportunities to talk about community issues with their peers, and provided them an opportunity to really give something back to their community. So I think anyone who's done intercultural collaboration is familiar with some of the challenges that are involved, you know, translation, communication, so many issues. But I felt like, in a lot of ways, these could be kind of condensed into three broad themes. So time was, of course, the first one. And we joked so many times in our project, this was a project that ran on gay time, Latin time, and drag queen time. So it was kind of a miracle that we finished on time. But joking aside, I think that when you're doing cross-cultural work or community participatory work, it's so essential that you really take time to keep process at the center. And I know I told myself many times in this project that it wouldn't matter how good the film was at the end if the community people who were making this film felt bad about their experience. If that was the case, then, you know, that it would not be a successful project. Of course, money is always an issue, and especially at a time when low-budget documentaries have budgets of anywhere from $500,000 to $1.5 million. This was a documentary that was produced on no budget, and that meant that if it happened in this project, a volunteer did it. And that had a lot of implications, especially like around translation, which is translation and transcription is so expensive. So there were many times that I wished that materials at meetings could have had more materials in Spanish. But to do that, I would have been twisting the arm of a volunteer. And so in the end, sometimes we had all the materials in Spanish as well, and sometimes we didn't. But what I heard back from community people was, you know, we know you're a student. We know there's no budget here. You're not DPH. You're not the San Francisco AIDS Foundation. And so do what you can. Do your best. And we're going to make an effort. We were generally a small group of 10 or so people. And we'll just make sure that if there's someone there that's struggling, we'll help them out. And we're just going to do the best we can. So, and that kind of leads to the third thing, which was heart. It was, I think, a challenge and also a great strength. This was, you know, a long project that often involved really long nights and work, and it was also dealing with such personal issues about estrangement from family, victimization, objectification. They were really tough personal issues, and I found like the participants in this project brought so much courage and so much generosity of spirit to the project that it couldn't have happened without that level of generosity. So, So opportunities for strengthening communities through intercultural collaboration. Again, the heart, while it was mustering that heart and that patience and all that was a challenge, but it was also such a growth opportunity. It was a really a chance to grow together as a community. And other things that I heard as positive outcomes from community members was it was just an excuse to get together because everyone had busy lives. A lot of people were students too, and they had, you know, other jobs, and this was an opportunity to get together with other people from the community. And again, this there was also an idea of reframing the notion of family, because I think familial connection has such resonance in the Latino community, and so many people experience estrangement around their sexual identity. And so this was a way of kind of re-envisioning family. And so that notion of creating a family of choice was, I think, an important thing and an important strength that came out of the project. So I did want to say a few things about limitations. One thing was this was a project about the process. So the film itself as a project, although, you know, we hope that eventually it will both be something that those support groups that helped us with the survey outreach are going to be able to use as a conversation starter for new members coming into their groups. But we didn't really evaluate the film itself. That's, you know, hopefully we'll do more with that later on. But so that was one thing. And the other thing I would say in terms of limitations is, while this was envisioned as, you know, a film made by gay Latino immigrants for gay Latino immigrants, and it was, originally in my thinking, it was going to be about, you know, recent immigrants making a film for recent immigrants. And that turned out, I think, to be an unrealistic expectation. Because as, you know, we worked with, you know, we had people come in, but the people who were more recent immigrants were really struggling with, like, working in multiple jobs. Also, people who were more recent immigrants seemed to be a lot less comfortable with the whole idea of doing anything related to video or film or having their picture taken. So in the end, it turned out being more of a project that was done by immigrants who had been in San Francisco a bit longer, doing a film for more recent immigrants. But that in and of itself seemed to have so much value for them because it was an opportunity to say, these are the things that I went through, these are the things I learned through that struggle, and I really appreciate the chance to tell someone who's just starting to struggle with those issues and let them benefit from my experience. So some final kind of personal thoughts. One of the things, you know, we often say that the San Francisco gay community is a really small community, but if the San Francisco gay community is a small circle, a small community, the San Francisco gay Latino immigrant community is even smaller. And I found that in doing this, I was subject to like a level of personal scrutiny that I had never experienced before. So whether it was something I said at a CAB meeting, or it was who I went home with, or who I was kissing at Latin Explosion on Friday night, that was like all fair game for discussion. And so, but I think that it also speaks to something that's really true about community participatory research, and that is that these weren't just like participants in research. These were coworkers, they were colleagues, they were friends, they were lovers. You know, it was a very small, intimate community. And I think that that does present things, you know, ethical considerations. As our research becomes more community participatory, those kinds of, you know, overlapping worlds and things, it becomes, you know, a more complicated issue. And I think that that's something we need to reflect on more and struggle with around resolving some ethical conflicts around that. I would also say, like, this one thing that stood out for me was the idea of identity and wholeness. I think that there were so many overlapping communities. There was the drag queen community, leather community, sex worker community, health advocate community, and I think one of the things that these overlapping worlds were a real strength of collaborating across communities, across cultures. Because sometimes these things get very fragmented. I'm Latino over here, and I'm gay over here, I'm a leather queen over here, I'm a health advocate there, and what this project did was kind of pull us all toward wholeness, and it was a place where you could bring all of who you were to the table and know that you would be accepted and know that who you were would be celebrated. And I think that may have been the best thing to come out of this, was having that space where you could bring all of who you were. And I guess also the other thing would be that when I started this project like a year and a half ago, my idea of community building was much more around like how many people can we get to show up for this panel discussion? How many bodies can we get there for this community forum? And I think in this project, I think that I changed how I define success in community building, and that even though our project didn't involve so many people, it was the struggling together in this small, intimate group that really forged bonds of community, the kinds of bonds where you can call someone up to vent about your evil boss or just to go to a movie. And I think that that's the kind of thing that kind of creates a real kind of community connection, and that maybe we need to think small when we think about how we do real community building. There are so many people to thank, of course, in a community participatory process. You know, most of all, the people who were brave enough to share their story with us, but also all the community people who helped edit, helped translate, all of that. And more than anything, really created an enhanced sense of family and really made me personally feel like a part of that family, which was very, very gratifying. And in particular, I think another having community gatekeepers, especially as a person who is an outsider to the community. In my case, it was Antonio Aguilar and Rafael Diaz, who had such enormous reputations in the community and were willing to say, you know, they knew me from previous work and were willing to say to the community, this is a good guy, you can trust him, it's okay to share your story with him, which was enormous. You know, without them, the whole project couldn't have happened because it really hinged on that kind of trust. So, and with that, if you have any questions, I'm happy to take them.
Thank you.
Thank you.